might be interesting and important for you to know.
The Paul Kurtman Show.
People that have some common sense and they're willing to say some things out loud that everybody else is just thinking.
When the left has the government, it's chaos and it's dangerous.
Paul Kurtman.
It's not really about the climate, it's about control.
This is the Paul Kurtman Show on News Talk STL.
And welcome to the Paul Kurtman Show here on News Talk STL at 101.9 and 94.1. Good to be with you this afternoon, this beautiful pre-Independence Day weekend. Independence Day, certainly one of my most favorite holidays of the year, especially as a patriot, because folks, this is what America's all about. What News Talk STL does has everything to do with what happened on July 4th, 1776. Almost jumped 200 years ahead there. But 4th of July weekend, here it is. It's coming up upon us. And what is, we're actually going to talk about something today, Ken, because it's been a big week for Supreme Court judgments being released. A few, arguably the strongest judgments being released in terms of our culture and in terms of our history, of what we believe and what America's all about. Three judgments just came down just this week. We're going to get to, but also because it is Independence Day weekend, one of these judgments ties directly in to some legislation that was introduced by Thomas Jefferson back when he was a state representative in Virginia. Did you know that Thomas Jefferson was a state representative in Virginia after he wrote the Declaration of Independence?
No, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Of course you would, though. And I think last week we had so many, or this week, I'm saying, earlier this week, we had so many different rulings, and it's great to talk about all of them. And also, though, you have some announcement to make, right?
I do, yeah, and we'll get to that in the third segment. So thanks, Ken. A big announcement for Paul Kurtman, the Paul Kurtman Show. So stick around for the third segment of today's show, because I'm going to tell you everybody exactly what's going on regarding this announcement. And if you listen to this show, thank you so much for listening. You're definitely going to want to be around for this announcement.
Yeah.
So we're going to get to that here coming up on the third segment of the Paul Kurtman Show. Let's get right into some of these Supreme Court cases. One of them, let's talk about this one. Let's talk about the student debt. Supreme Court strikes down Joe Biden's $400 billion student loan forgiveness program, which, by the way, they were talking about it as though it's a $400 billion student loan. The I'm trying to remember what the name of the office is, Office of Oversight in Washington, D.C. They say that it's not $400 billion. It's more like $1.2 trillion when you consider all the financial implications and exactly how much it would have cost. So thank goodness that the Supreme Court struck this down, because the idea that Joe Biden would use a COVID rule, something that was passed in the middle of this COVID crisis, as we called it, using that to find a path forward to student loan forgiveness, if that's not unconstitutional just on the face of the scheme that he used to try to justify it, I don't know what does. And I'm kind of shocked and surprised that it even had to go all the way to the Supreme Court. But you know what? That's what the Supreme Court's for. But this is a win for financial sanity for our nation. It's also a win. I know there's a lot of people out there that are probably really hoping, oh man, this would be so good for me. Listen, at any time you can have your debt forgiven, it always feels good. It always improves your financial situations.
Yeah.
But what a way to absolutely rock people and their sense of personal responsibility, their accountability, the financial implications that come with having your debt just forgiven by the government. And we're talking about not just a couple hundred dollars. We're talking about as much as $20,000. And for people that don't even have a net worth to begin with, this is the wrong road to begin your life. It's always better to begin your life saying, hey, whatever I have to pay back, I'm going to pay back. I'm going to work hard because other people have loaned me this money and I'm going to work hard to pay it back.
And it's so typical about Democrats and trying to pass this kind of a ruling, because they want to spend money. They want to spend money as much as they possibly can. That's one part of it. The other part of it is, I don't know if they're either too short-sighted or they're just trying to build more of an apparatus for socialism, because once this would pass, say they did allow this to happen, the next generation 4 years from now would be saying the same thing. Okay, well, that happened with them. Where's our money?
Or the people that have just finished paying off their debt.
And exactly. And then it becomes universal schooling.
That's right.
And it becomes socialism in that respect. And that's just another part of a piece of a puzzle that the Democrat Socialist Party want to put together for us.
What you just said, it creates a calling by everybody to say, well, what about me? What about me? Why don't I get my debt paid for? Or what about my kids? Or what about all the work that I've done to pay off my debt? I should get reparations for that, right?
There we go. There's the word.
But I think you're spot on in the sense of the short-sightedness. And the short-sightedness usually extends only as far as Election Day in November. Because Joe Biden is 100%, no doubt about it, trying to use the whole idea of forgiving people. I mean, he promised to do this when he was running for president.
Yeah.
And then he gets elected and he can't find doesn't have a Congress that can get it done for him. So he has to use this old COVID rule that he believes grants him the executive authority, which finally, thank goodness, the Supreme Court said it doesn't. But to your point, it does. It creates this calling and this beckoning for everybody to say, well, what about me? Where's my cut of this? Because so many Americans have student loans, right? So many of them do, not just people that are in debt right now, but you have the people that are going to be in debt in the future.
Yeah.
And you have the people that used to be in debt in the past. And so this is a wide net that throws this calling for bigger government around all of them, because they all want to get their cut.
And let's not be deceived here. The Democrat Party, let's skip socialism. If the Democrats had it their way, it would be the Democrat Communist Party. That's really where they want to go. They're power hungry. And if you're listening to this right now, you're saying, oh, you're just leaning right. You're just crazy talking. Look at the policies. Look at what they've been wanting to do for the last 20 years. Or actually where it started was probably, I mean, in full swing was when Obama came into office. Just look at all the policies. Compare notes of what the Republicans have been trying to do, which, by the way, I'm not very happy with them either. I'm not a Republican. I think they're part of many of, not most of them, are a part of the uniparty now. But this uniparty thing just wants to, they want power. That's all they want is a globalist power. And it equates itself to communism. I mean, for lack of a better word.
And it is a uniparty. It is a uniparty, right? I mean, you can drink the Kool-Aid. It might have a slightly different flavor.
Yeah.
It might be a different color, but it's Kool-Aid nonetheless.
Yep.
And it's always better to approach both these parties like they're just shady used car salesmen. No offense to the used car salesmen. Just bought a used car last week.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? There's this term that we use for people that we just need to be a little careful of because they're just trying to sell us on something. And that's what we get from both parties. Let's take a look at this one. The Supreme Court effectively overruled a landmark affirmative action precedent. The ruling creates more uncertainty, however, for high school students applying to college, according to this article. In Congress, Democrats denounced and Republicans celebrated the ruling on the affirmative action case, which was a Harvard case, because an Asian American felt like he was being discriminated against just based literally on his own race, the color of his skin.
Yeah.
So as we all know, folks, we've had affirmative action, which has said, hey, in order to create a more diverse workforce, it's important to actually put an emphasis on the color of people's skin rather than on their merit, or in college, on their ability to study academically and achieve academic progress. In the workforce, the ability to be just productive, right? Now we want to make sure that we have a racially diverse labor force, racially diverse college campuses. So really, our college campuses and our labor forces, neither one are as productive as they would be if they were both filled up with people that were just capable of doing the work and have the background and the credentials to reinforce the idea that if you hire them or you admit them into college, they're going to serve the school or their workforce well.
On the Vic Porcelli show, we had Kenny Hsu, and we've had him on a few times, and he was the one who came up. He was actually the big, big advocate about this whole thing in saying that Asian students are being discriminated against, outright discriminated against, because they would say, well, there are just too many Asian students in this college. We've got to limit it somehow. So therefore, we're going to make it more equitable for other minorities. And white males primarily are also being discriminated against, but that's a whole other issue. This one is particularly focused on the Asian Americans. Mm-hmm. And the argument was, well, they're a lot of them are Chinese and they're taking their education and going back to China. Well, then why don't you just get better? Why don't you just get smarter in the K-12 situation? Make that better for beginning students, so by the time they do get to college, they can compete on a level with these people.
And you know what? A lot of this also has to do with culture. I mean, when you – and I've been to Asia. I've lived in Japan. I've been to different Asian countries when I was in the Marine Corps. And I noticed a difference. And I had a good friend of mine from Japan here in the U.S. Usually the Japanese foreign exchange students – I don't know if it's this way as much now, but it certainly was in the 90s when I was in high school. They were much more reserved, respectful, you know, much more quiet. Social media is probably changing a lot of the culture, even in Japan among the youth. But what I'm drawing attention to is the fact that in Asia, you will just see a different, more traditional, more reverent culture altogether than you will see in the U.S. And so what that could easily translate to is when people actually go to school, when they're young in Asia and they go to school, they will work harder to have academic accomplishments and achieve things. There used to be this issue in Japan. I don't know if it's as much the case as it used to be, but have you ever heard about all the suicides in Japan among the youth?
Yes.
I mean, like, I don't know if it is now, but there was a time where it was a total epidemic.
I remember that.
Because students would, like, they would do bad on a test. They would still be head and shoulders above academic students here in the U.S., right?
Yeah.
Their scores are way higher. But relatively speaking, compared to other Japanese students, they might have fallen behind a little bit. And it's such a dishonoring thing to do because your academic achievements directly correlate to your work ethic and how much attention you're going to put into it and how you're going to represent your family and the honor you're going to bring to your family. So when you have a different culture like that, it just makes sense that you might have people that have a lot more merit and are much more worthy of being accepted into a university than somebody that comes from a different cultural background. And when you look at the black community in America, like, here's things that we just can't deny. The divorce rate, the unwed mother rate is far higher among the black community than it was today than it was among the black community in the 1940s and the 1950s.
Exactly.
So there has been a cultural shift. I do blame some of this, not all of it, but some of it certainly on leftist policies that have incentivized people in poorer communities to not be married. But because of the leftist policies and just a general attachment to some of these incentives that they have created, the black inner city community is worse off now, prosperity speaking, family speaking, than it was even just decades ago. We've made big strides in terms of racial equality under the law.
Yeah.
But the black community, unfortunately, has not made those same strides where their own inner city culture lies, right? Ben Shapiro, Thomas Sowell, a black economist. Who's the congressman from Florida? Alan West.
Yes.
Yes. So there are leaders in the black community who have really achieved things. Clarence Thomas is another one who have called these things out before. And so when you have an issue or when you have a case that the Supreme Court just ruled on in terms of affirmative action, making sure that we can get back to merit will actually hopefully create another cultural shift where people are concerned about their own merit. And that's going to move the needle of progress in America much farther than any racial-based hiring or academic achievement is concerned.
For sure.
And we're going to be back in just a couple minutes here on the Paul Kurtman Show. We got so much more to talk about. Make sure you stick around. 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Take a stab in the dark
and then it comes a shock. A finger on the ball. Follow Paul on social media at Paul Kurtman. This is the Paul Kurtman Show on News Talk STL. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. listening to The Paul Kertman Show on News Talk STL.
And welcome back to The Paul Kertman Show. We have been discussing these landmark Supreme Court cases that primarily are being used to strike down tyrannical laws and regulations at lower levels of government. We had just talked about this, the Supreme Court ruling that it has effectively struck down affirmative action on college campuses. There's another one. This one is really interesting because there's just going to be so much that happens out of this one, culturally speaking. This one might create a little bit more of a cultural divide immediately, but where freedom, general freedom is concerned, incredibly important. The court also ruled in favor of a web designer. Her name was Lori Smith, and she opposed same-sex marriage on religious grounds. And she sued the state of Colorado in 2016, saying that she would accept customers planning opposite-sex weddings, but she wanted to reject requests made by same-sex couples wanting the same service. Smith argued that as a creative professional, this is important, a creative professional, she has a free speech right to refuse to undertake work that conflicts with her views. So this is really important here because as a creative professional, her position is you cannot force me to be creative. In other words, you cannot enforce me to create art or just create anything, really, if it violates my conscience. Because if it violates my conscience, then I'm not really being creative at all. I'm actually just basically being reduced to slave labor, essentially doing something that I don't want to do, but I'm being forced to do.
And her point was simply this. She was actually more direct than other people have been. She said she didn't want to do a service for marriage, okay, a site for marriage. She said she would do a site for gay couples, but just not for the marriage aspect of it. And if you look at it from a different angle and say, well, one person is being told they have to do something in their life, where another person is saying, you know, you don't have to do it if you don't want to. And I would argue that if you're wanting to do this, if you're wanting to require someone to do a service like this, the question becomes why? Because there are so many other people that could do it and would do it. Yeah. I'm a cake artist myself by trade before I got back into radio. And I loved doing cakes. I didn't care if you were gay or not, gay wedding or not, didn't matter to me. Because these cakes were very, very expensive, and we cornered the market, and we loved it.
Yep. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, this person has a choice whether or not they want to do it. They should have a choice, and then the other people, the gay couple, should just say, okay, you know what? We're going to go somewhere else.
You know what? Everybody should have a choice who they want to do business with.
They should.
That's the way free markets work. So there's two important aspects to this. One, you just mentioned, you know, if you don't want to make the cake, here's the problem. The LGBTQ, and now we're going to talk in a minute about what Canada's calling it now. This is crazy.
Like, I want to hear this.
This is so nutty. But this whole community, it's not about getting the service. It's about forcing other people to comply. It's not enough that somebody out there will do it, but we want this person who has trouble doing it, we want to force them to do it. So
that's
for
the goal.
Movement that's all about love and tolerance, mm-hmm. They have no love or tolerance for anybody else that has a different view.
No.
And so the thing is that whole community, the LGBTQ community, would go so much further if they would just say, okay, you don't want to do it. Okay, we're going to go over here and let somebody else do it, because that would open up the market to people that are their allies, and it would help make them more prosperous. So they can't do it because it's right. Okay, because they want to force somebody to do it. Right. And they also can't do it because it's smart, which is crazy. So here, this community won't do it because it's right, and they won't do it because it's smart. Stupidity on both sides.
And going back even farther, I used to do this artwork. I do art, and I've sold art. I've sold it for quite a bit of money. My clientele, because of the base of the biological look of this artwork that I do, that I still do, it's geared toward gay men for some reason. I don't know why.
Your artwork?
Yes.
Okay.
It just is.
I didn't know this about you, Ken.
Yeah, but I didn't know, you know, but it's just the way it is. So If I were to refuse sale to them, I'd probably be really limiting my business.
Yeah.
As a Christian, I don't agree with them. But that doesn't, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a sale of a product to somebody. And there's a big difference there.
And you know what? If my wife and I were getting married, which we did, clearly, she's my wife. But like, so let's go back to 2014 when we got married. If I knew somebody was like, well, I just don't like Christians, so I just don't want to do your flowers, or I don't want to do your photos. It's our wedding. We don't want to turn it into a bad experience for us.
No.
So why would we want to do it anyway? Unless we had an agenda. Unless we were gonna, the whole point of us getting married was so we would have a platform to get you from.
Yeah.
And that's what seems to be going on here. The big thing here also, though, is this: the right of conscience, also known as the right of, or the freedom of conscience, is the freedom to follow one's own moral or religious beliefs and act accordingly. And the right of conscience, or the freedom of conscience, this is something we've always had in the U.S. And as long as your freedom of conscience doesn't actually directly harm anybody else, you should be able to be free to follow whatever conscience you want. Whether somebody else agrees with it or not is entirely different. But if you're not hurting anybody, you should be allowed to follow your own conscience. And we have a strong history in the U.S. from our founding days of protecting the freedom of conscience in the colonial area. I got a couple examples here. Many of the early European settlers came to America seeking religious freedom. However, religious tolerance varied even among the colonies. Did you know, Ken, that colonies, and even when they became states, the first 13 original states, even they had state religions. Did you know that?
No.
So the federal government in the First Amendment is prohibited from having a state or a national religion. But at the lower level, at the state governments, they could have a state religion. They just couldn't force you to be part of it. So just like we have a state bird and a state rock, and in America we have a state, or in Missouri we have a state everything. I think jumping jacks is like our official state exercise. It's stupid because we have representatives that do this kind of stuff so that way they can hang a bill with the governor's signature on their wall.
Yeah.
So we have state everything. But it used to be that we would have a state, we would recognize a particular state religion or denomination as the state religion or denomination, but you wouldn't be forced to follow it. But we had that in the colonial era. We had that in the early days. Virginia Statute of Religious Freedom. It was authored in 1786, so right after. We're talking 3 years before the U.S. Constitution was even ratified. One of the key milestones in the history of religious freedom in America was the passage of the Virginia Statute of Religious Freedom, authored by none other than the Declaration of Independence author Thomas Jefferson. And the statute was later incorporated into the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, and it established the principle of separating church and state and protecting the right of individuals to freely exercise their religious beliefs. And the reason that the government should stay totally out of religion. So when you hear people talk about a wall of separation between church and state, you know where that comes from? It comes from a Supreme Court justice letter, or not letter, it comes from a letter by Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptist Association, or the Baptist Church in Danbury, Connecticut. They were concerned that by ratifying the Bill of Rights, then it would be the government just taking over more control. And eventually, by having the U.S. Constitution, by having this kind of more formal government, not the Articles of Confederation that we had during the Revolutionary War, but by having a constitution or by having our Bill of Rights, they were concerned by having a more powerful national government, they might actually institute a national religion, which is what so many people fled to come over to America to get away from, was the national religion of England or Germany or Italy or all these other countries, right?
Yeah.
And so he said, no, there's a wall of separation between church and state. Most people think that those words are in the Constitution. They're not in the Constitution. They're in a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to religious people to explain to them that this wall of separation is going to prevent the government from meddling in the affairs of your church or even your own conscience.
Now, this is where it gets sticky by one word. And I've always seen this, and you have a lot of people on the left saying, hey, look, the government is freedom from religion. No, you're wrong. It's freedom of religion. Your freedom, your freedom lies in the ability to express your own religion. It's not from religion where the government is benign and has no, in God We Trust, for example. That's in our, that's a cornerstone of this country.
Have you had an opportunity to walk around Washington, D.C.?
No, I never have.
Okay. So if you ever go to Washington, D.C. and you walk around the mall or you walk around the Supreme Court building, which is right across from the front steps of the U.S. Capitol. You can walk out, stand on the front steps of the U.S. Capitol. You're looking out across a nice, large, lush green lawn. And then on the other side of the street, there's the U.S. Supreme Court building. And when you look, there are Bible verses all over the place, etched into the marble and the granite all around. There are statues of Moses at the Supreme Court holding the Ten Commandments, right? So here's the dilemma that we have for the people that want to have freedom from religion and say, no, government should not have anything to do and politicians should never have anything to do. Well, at that point, then this moral code that we have goes from being divine to being down here and is just going to be just as scummy and as bad as human beings are capable of being. And you're going to wind up having people that justify the worst type of actions, and they're going to say it's okay because it's all up to us because morality is relative, because they're going to say there is no higher power, there is no higher authority, there is no sense of a higher form of justice that we're all accountable to.
And Paul, that's what the left wants. That's part of their power play. And they want they don't want us to have a moral authority. They don't want us to have a divine authority.
They want it to come
they
from humans.
They want the authority to come from the divine government.
The Charter of the United Nations. You know, like we say in the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal. So self-evident. They exist in the laws of nature, nature's God. Two things that our founding fathers often referred to. If you go to the Charter of the United Nations, they allude to the idea that all of this comes from people. And of course, big government, worldwide
globalism,
forms of government,
yeah.
Globalism, that's what they want. They want to empower humanity. They want to empower our own moral code. And the thing is it's not even a code. It's relative to whoever happens to be in charge.
The people that are in charge right now are very, very questionable.
Do you want to have the moral code out of the Ten Commandments? Or do you want the moral code of whoever is over you in government? Do you want the moral code of Donald Trump? Do you want the moral code of Barack Obama? Do you want the moral code of Mao Zedong? Or do you want the moral code of Kim Jong-il in North
Biden,
Korea?
Klaus Schwab. I mean, come on.
Yeah. So I mean, you're going to be hop, skipping, and jumping from one moral code to the next. And based on whoever's in control or in power,
yep,
your life, your prosperity, your peace, your freedom, all of that's going to be in jeopardy because it's all going to be relative and at the mercy of whoever is in charge. So this is why we have to make sure we protect our freedom of conscience, because our freedom of conscience has often, I'm just going to say, the Bible says it, we're created in the image of God, right? I think there's something inherent about us.
Yeah.
And you can see this throughout world history. There's always been this kind of like, even if it's just been an undercurrent in some of these authoritarian regimes, there's always been a calling to a higher power, because that's where we go to for help. That's where we go to when things in our own life or our own country is just terrible and bad. I'm telling you, people in North Korea wish there was a higher power to come in and help them out, but they're just not. They're not getting it because they're all at the mercy of the humanist Kim Jong-il. Hey, when we come back, we're going to do a little bit of the B or not the B, and I'll tell you all what's going to be going on for the Paul Kirtman Show and for Paul Kirtman and family here in the next segment of the Paul Kirtman Show right here, 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Cry myself to sleep
as I dance with the demons. Follow Paul on social media at Paul Kirtman. This is the Paul Kirtman Show on News Talk STL. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. You're listening to the Paul Kirtman Show on News Talk STL.
And welcome back to the third and final segment of the Paul Kirtman Show here at News Talk STL. Ken, let's have a little fun real quick before I make this announcement.
Let's do
the B or not the B. Okay, So I've got, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have 7 headlines here.
All right, let's go.
Some of them are true, some of them are false. The way the Bee or Not the Bee works is I'm going to read headlines from the Babylon Bee, a satire news website, and I will also read some headlines that are true. And Ken is going to have to guess which ones are true and which ones are false. And what might be false today might be true tomorrow. That's what makes this game so much fun and interesting. Okay. Let's see, where do we want to start? Okay, here's a good one. Oh, my goodness. So in New York right now, DeSantis and a number of politicians in Washington, D.C. are mocking New York's plan to curb pizza oven emissions.
Yeah.
So Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, comic book, the TV show, the movie series, they have a developing story. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles moved to Florida to escape New York pizza oven ban. They are pizza-loving turtles, right? This is what they do. They eat pizza and they fight crime. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles moved to Florida to escape New York pizza oven ban. Is that actually happening? Is that real or is that just from the Babylon Bee?
I would say only because they're fictional characters that's a Babylon Bee.
That is the Babylon Bee. Okay. That's correct.
Otherwise, if it was real people, I would say absolutely it's true.
Well, you never know. If they actually wind up banning pizza in New York, I mean, what are the turtles going to do? Right. Even in the comic book, what are they going to do?
Right.
It's crazy. The idea that they'd ban pizza ovens or lower their emissions, try to regulate them.
Actually, what they're doing is they're taking coal fires and the wood fires, and they're saying you can't have wood-fired pizza anymore. These are the small business owners, these small pizza shops, that are just being destroyed by this because they can't afford to retrofit these gas stoves.
How many icebergs do you think that will prevent from melting next year if they stop burning these 5 or 6 sticks of wood every day whenever they make a wood fire pizza?
I've said it to you before. We could take the whole United States. No, we could take the whole North American continent and push it right down into the ocean. Okay? Imagine that. It'd be horrid. But it would not make 1 degree difference
in climate
change.
Wouldn't make any difference. Okay, here's one that's tricky.
Okay.
Anglican Church unveils tuck-friendly vestments. So there are denominations that are embracing the LGBTQ. Now in Canada, it's called 2LTQTLJQQ+, or something like that. It's crazy. They got numbers in there now. Yeah. They got numbers in there now.
Oh, my goodness.
But there's churches. Like, you'll drive around and you'll see some of these woke, super woke churches. And, like, we accept everybody. There's this Lutheran minister, this woman up in Montana. She has the Sparkle Creed. And, like, churches, especially some Protestant churches that are close in ceremony to Catholicism, they will have their creeds, right? And this woman has a Sparkle Creed. You can find it online. Just YouTube it. Montana Church Sparkle Creed. And she's just, the whole creed is about God being non-binary and Jesus having 2 fathers. It's crazy.
Oh,
crazy.
Man. Wow.
So Anglican Church, headline is, Church unveils tuck-friendly vestments.
I've got to say it's real based on the situations today.
It could be real tomorrow, but today that's the Babylon Bee.
Okay, you got me. All right.
All right, let's do another one here.
The Babylon Bee, by the way, is known for doing stories like this, and then they end up being true.
And then they come true.
Yeah.
It is a matter of time. A matter of time.
Yeah.
Okay, RNC raising money to help Democrats televise 5 debates per week.
I would say true. I would say true on that one.
That is also the Babylon Bee.
Is it?
Yeah, but you know what? One way or another. I would love for the Democrat Party to have 5 debates in total for president, because the lineup they have, the people that are on the bench to run for president, it's going to be a clown show.
I'm not doing well in this, but the reason being is because something like this, I've heard actually one party or the other paying for something promotionally for the other party because they want something to be done. They want an action to be had from that party.
Yeah.
So
let's do it. Here we go. We'll do a couple more and we'll get to this announcement. Headline is, what people really need is less choice, not more, explains Atlantic writer who experiences, quote, a kind of paralysis choosing orange juice.
I got to say it's true.
It's true.
I, Yep. Because, yeah.
I just got to let you know right off the bat, that is true.
It's a left mentality to limit choice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's just inherent. I don't know why it's ingrained in the Democratic mindset, but it is. And that fits right in with it.
Okay, if you get this next one, you will win, and we'll end with this one. Okay.
Okay.
Harvard to get around affirmative action bias, or I'm sorry, Harvard to get around affirmative action ban by asking you whether you prefer barbecue, ranch, or soy sauce.
Oh man. All right. Okay. All right, I'll go with Babylon Bee.
That's the Babylon Bee. Right. Yeah. That's it's just getting so crazy, right?
Yeah.
Are you Asian? Yeah. Are you black? Are you white? I would probably, you know, here that this would be tricky though, because I might go with barbecue there. I'm not the biggest ranch fan, so. Okay, but here's a true headline. I was talking about the LGBTQ plus. Listen to this. Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, so the CBC, unveils insane new acronym to replace LGBTQ. And the acronym, where is it? Well, there's actually a quote in here from Justin Trudeau. The latest rave is all about, quote, two-spirit, transgender, non-binary, and other gender-diverse children and youth. And so they found that the acronym that they're going to start using is, where did it go? I just lost it. Here it is. Justin Trudeau says, people across the country are lighting candles to honor Indigenous women, girls, and 2SLGBTQIA+ people who are missing or have been murdered. So in a tweet about people from this community who are missing or have been murdered, you know, victims of crime, he has announced, and we now know that they have a new acronym, and this is what's going to catch on, 2SLGBTQIA+. Justin Trudeau can't even say LGBTQ. Right. I don't know how he's going to say 2SLGBTQIA+. That's what it is now.
Well, I hope they keep up with that. I hope they keep trying to change the acronym, make it longer, make it larger, make the flag more diverse. I hope they keep doing it, because at some point people are just going to look at, we're doing it now. We're saying, you know what? I'm not playing.
Yeah.
I'm not playing your game. You can call it. Now they have the choice and right to be able to call whatever they want. I'm not required to repeat it and play that game.
That's right. Hey, let's go ahead and get into, how much time do we got left?
Let's see here. We've got about 5 minutes.
Okay, well, next 5 minutes. Folks, here is the announcement that you've all been waiting for since the beginning of the show. So as you all know, and you've heard probably some of the ads play on News Talk STL, and you've heard me talk about it a little bit, but I own an investment firm called PR Kurtman Investments. It's a registered investment advisory firm here in the state of Missouri. And I started this company back in the fall of 2021, really just before the markets took a tumble and we had a bear market. However, God has really blessed my family and my business. We've had children born. Our business has continued to grow. And I was just already on the cusp of having to register a new office in Florida because my clientele in Florida is really picking up. And so right about that same time, I also got an opportunity. So I went to a school in Florida, a Christian school, and I have an opportunity to do a little bit of work for them also, really kind of in the same line of business and investments and money and people. And so for the time being, while I get an opportunity to go to Florida for a little bit, because I'm gonna have to be going back and forth a lot between Florida and Missouri, because when you register, when you have clients in Florida and you have clients in Missouri and you have to register an office in Florida anyway, you just got to kind of go back and forth just to make sure you're running all the traps.
Sure.
And jumping through all the bureaucracy. So I'm going to be able to do that. And our family's going to be down there for a little bit as I continue to go back and forth, growing my business and doing a little bit of work for this Christian educational institution. And so I am going to be off the air. The Paul Kurtman Show will be off the air. However, I will still be on News Talk STL probably pretty frequently as I continue to join Mike Ferguson or Vic Porcelli.
You'll definitely be on the Vic Porcelli Show.
Katie and Columbo.
Yeah,
you know.
You'll be on all the shows.
So I'm still going to be around and doing that kind of thing. The way I see this, Ken, is I took a risk back in 2021 leaving a very large nationwide investment firm, North American investment firm, and you know, risk big, win big. and God has really blessed me and our family. And this next little phase in life is great for my business as it continues to grow. And it's also, since my brother passed away in 2021, I've been wanting to do more in terms of Christian service.
Yeah.
And this will also help me fill that. I don't want to say it's a hole in my life or a gap in my life. It's not, but I just want to do more there.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to have an opportunity to do a little bit of that while I'm working with my business in Florida and my business in Missouri. And I'm real excited about it. My family's really excited about
it. And Paul, we are so proud of you here at News Talk STL. I mean, you have such a work ethic that I know very few people have. And the story that you tell, you've got to tell real quick. We've got a little bit of time. Your Wisconsin experience.
Yes.
And what led you to today?
Yeah. So when my wife and I were making the transition from Wisconsin back to Missouri, for a little while, I got my family and my wife and kids all back. And I had to stick around in Wisconsin. But you know, when you have a goal, when you have a vision, you will sacrifice. And as a man, as a Marine, as a Christian, I will personally sacrifice to fulfill that vision for my family. And there
you
was,
did.
And I did. There was a while. There was a while where I decided, hey, I got my wife and kids in a good, comfortable house in Missouri. But to make this work financially, I've got to make some sacrifices while I'm still doing the work in Wisconsin. And for a while, I slept in my van. I slept in my van to make sure.
You gutted a van. You put curtains up.
My wife made curtains for me. We put them around the windows. And for a few nights, I'll just leave it at that. It might be longer. It might be shorter. But
right.
Folks, let me tell you something. I got very comfortable in this van. I got very used to it. But that's what I did in order to pull this off. And right at the same time, News Talk STL was gearing up to go on air. And I want to say thank you to Jeff, Joe, and Tony, and everybody else here, especially you, Ken, and Paul Cook, who is here, who first went on air with me and kind of showed me the ropes, you know. So it's been a tremendous experience for me, and I greatly appreciate it. And I appreciate everything News Talk STL has done for me by allowing me to be on air, have this outlet, and also having some ads to run to help my business grow. Certainly, News Talk STL has played a large role in this next phase of my life because they've also helped me find more business like-minded conservatives or Christian people that I can continue to work for.
And Paul, we're just going to be really glad to have you still being on the air and just business growth. I see you being one of those people with your work ethic and the support from your amazing family. You're going to have more kids, right?
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Okay. Well, I thought we were stopping at three. We're at five now.
Yeah.
And they keep coming. Yeah, quiver full. The Bible says if you have lots of kids, it is a quiver full, and it makes for a happy life, and certainly made for a happy life for me.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's going to benefit you down the road. And I'm talking about 10, 15, 20, 30 years down the road.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So best of luck to you on this. I think we're so proud of you. It's so amazing that you're going to do this.
Yeah, we're really excited about it, and you know, I'm just excited about what the future holds. All my kids, I'm 42, Ken. All my kids are five kids, ages 7 and under, and so I'm just excited about what the future holds. And folks, for the listeners, I want to encourage you: make sure you continue to listen to News Talk STL because I believe America has brighter days ahead, and you're going to get the best information, news, analysis, and opinion from right here on News Talk STL. It's been the time of my life, and I've always appreciated it, and I always will. All right, folks, that's it for the Paul Kirtman Show.
For now.
Make sure that you stick around and tune into News Talk STL every chance you get. Ken, thank you so much for everything.
It's been my pleasure, Paul.
All right, y'all have a good day, and signing off.
Follow Paul on social media at Paul Kirtman. This is the Paul Kirtman Show on News Talk STL. For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.